built a kingdom for the mansions in the sky. When my life comes to an end, I'll begin to live again, 'cause I'm flying off to heaven when I die. I lay down right beneath that tree of life and take my time, 'cause time has finally reached the land. I'll rest in his arms, the king who brought his kingdom, and let the lullabies of paradise begin. I'll pass through the gate, I'll lay down right beneath that tree of life, and take my time, 'cause time has finally reached the land. I'll rest in his arms, the king who bought his kingdom with his life, and let the lullabies of paradise begin. Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the bright and morning star. He built a kingdom for the mansions in the sky. When my life comes to an end, I'll begin to live again, 'cause I'm flying off to heaven when I die. Dream about my home beyond the sky. I'll just close my eyes and I'll cross the crystal sea. Oh, right there on the other side, I hear my Savior say to me, I've been waiting for you, there's so much I want you to see. Follow me. Of God, the bright and morning star. He built a kingdom for the mansions in the sky. When my life comes to an end, I'll begin to live again, 'cause I'm flying off to heaven when I die. Prince of Peace, of God, the bright and morning star. He built a kingdom for the mansions in the sky. When my life comes to an end, I'll begin to live again, 'cause I'm flying off to heaven when I die. I'll be flying off to heaven when I die.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Wow, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to preach a message that is very important. Hallelujah. Before you go there, you can take us to Proverbs 10:22. Proverbs 10:22. It says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Hallelujah. How many of you believe that God can bless you? And after God will bless you. God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Hallelujah. I see the Lord blessing you in Jesus' name. And God will make you rich. You see, so the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. So God blesses, and God will bless you. Now, let's go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. The blessing. So we're talking about the blessing of the Lord. And we are talking about that you have to be spiritual. So it's a continuation of what we started. We see what we're talking about. So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 4. You see, God wants to bless you. You say, bless of the Lord, it maketh rich. So everything he has said and he does is to bless you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but also unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So you see that God wants to talk to us. Hallelujah. God wants to talk to us. The talking he wants to talk to us is so that we will be blessed. But there's a way he talks. He talks, he has to speak to us as spirituals. Because if we are not spiritual, we will not understand the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says that now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So the things that God has given to us, you get it? To help us and to bless us. You have to be spiritual to understand them. How you get what I'm saying? You have to be spiritual. If you walk with the spirit of the world, you will not understand the things that God has given to us. And the blessings of the Lord are true. They come to us. But they come if we can understand. You see, because of that, which things we speak, which also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. The last phrase is what I wanted, because they are spiritually discerned. So the things of God are spiritually discerned. The ways of God, the keys to your prosperity, the keys to your success, the keys to your blessings are spiritually discerned. When you look at it in the natural, it may not make meaning to you, and you easily take it for granted. But when you look at it in the spiritual, you understand it that way, then you will see that they are very powerful keys and things that God has given to you for your breakthrough and for your prosperity. Hallelujah. With this in mind, I want to turn about to Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. And I want you to be very spiritual to understand what I'm saying. Mark chapter 4. You are going to see some things here. And you are going to ask yourself, why didn't it happen to some people? And why it happened to some people? And you get under the key to that thing, which is also a very powerful spiritual thing. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. So they went on a ship. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, do you not care that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Today may every form of wind or storm in your life be still in the name of Jesus. Financial storms and winds, marital storms and winds, may it be still in Jesus' name. He says, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Hallelujah. That's why we have the song that Onipa, Beni na okasama frama, just okasana frama kwa yedin. Isn't it a very powerful miracle? Very powerful miracle. He commanded the sea. If Jesus was around and the hurricane was coming, he could command, stop! And it will stop. Hallelujah. So this is a fantastic miracle. Wouldn't you want this miracle to happen to you? That after this afternoon, all those winds blowing, that doesn't make you sleep. They will stop. They will stop. Hey! But it will be your story in Jesus' name. Then after this miracle, another miracle happened in Mark chapter 5, verse 2. When they had crossed the sea, and to the other side, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. And any unclean spirit in your life today, we command to leave in the name of Jesus. With an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You know, this man's problem, his spirit is also like somebody who cannot be advised. Some of you are not really living in cemeteries, but you are so stubborn that no man can bind your mind. No man can advise you. When you plug, no man can stop you. It's a spirit. Just that you are not living in the cemetery. You have put on tie, you have put on this, but you have a wild spirit controlling you. No man. How come nobody can counsel you? Nobody can talk to you. No, you alone, you are like, I have made up my mind. Somebody said, even Jesus cannot change my mind. Hey, you are like this man. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains have been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So you can see that this man was controlled by a very powerful spirit, stubborn demon. You have been for every convention, but the demon is still around. When they chain the demon, then the demon will just, he will just pull like that and break the chains and go away. Hey! No man can bind him. Powerful demon. And then verse 8, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. And then Bible says, for he said unto him, come out, the man. Because he met Jesus with all his problems. And he said, no man has been able to tame this man all these years till he met Jesus. And Jesus had told him to come out. And then he has said certain things. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. He even answered Jesus, what is your name? Now he was calm.
He said, my name is Legion. Then we are a very powerful group of demons. A legion is about 6,100 soldiers, which includes about 3,600 infantry with heavy artillery. That is a legion. And some with horsemen. So when they tell that we are a legion, that they are showing you the type of army. Recently, the Hurricane Emma, the second one is Maria. British army said they've sent 3,600 troops. 3,600. They said they've dispatched 6,300 troops to go and help them. I think in Puerto Rico or somewhere to go and help them. Look at all these people. 6,300. They are a mighty army. And in this month alone, you get it? In this month alone, were an equal number of people in him. But they were spirit. They were spirit. So it shows you the problem the man was handling. And this problem, you cannot just come one day and say, come out. You get it? 100 may come, and then the rest will remain. But Jesus, even took time to ask you, what is your name? What is your name? One day, some people were casting out a devil. And they had tormented the human being, not the devil. The devil. You are supposed to torment the devil, not the human being. When I got there, the human being was lying on the floor, very dirty and tired. So I asked them, what are you doing? He said, we are casting out the devil. So I said, why is the devil not out? They said, we have been asking of his name and he's not minding us. You see, so because the devil was in the human being, when you mention the name of Jesus, the devil will respond by tormenting the human being. But the devil is not coming out. So I asked them, why do you want to know the devil's name? He said that because Jesus has the name of the demon in the madman of Gadara. I said, how many times did Jesus cast out devils? And how many times do you hear that he has the name? He has of the name. It's once you ask him, he has the name. So every day he has of the name. One day he was preaching, didn't ask anybody's name. The demons themselves started screaming and they left. So are you tormenting the human being? Now, what you are doing now, you are tormenting the human being, not the devil. The guy was tired. No, you know, you see, God, where they were, it was a park. So I told them that, he said, it does not just take anything to go and ask the name of a devil. It doesn't take just taking and ask the name of, it takes a certain power, certain anointing. You don't, that Jesus even told the disciples that this thing goeth not out by coming to shout, and it just goes by some spiritual exercise, by some spiritual muscles and strength. When they went for crusade, I will come back to this one. Went for crusade, and then I saw some people. They were casting out, trying to cast out the devil. And then I realized that one by one, they were leaving the girl alone. And they were just going. So I said, what's happening there? So later, I think Bishop Mousy went there and cast out, dead to the problem. Because after, I didn't know what was happening. So dead to the problem. And there was peace in the area. So later, they came to tell me what was happening. Not knowing that the lady was full of a certain spirit, which you know what the spirit was. So when the first person laid the hands on her, suddenly she had erection. The brother had an erection. And unfortunately for him, unfortunately for him, he wasn't wearing any tight thing, so it was a little bit visible. So he left. Then, when he left them, other people followed. Not only that, one by one, that was what was happening to them. Hey! It was when Bishop Mousy went there. So
So I'm sure when Bishop Maxwell was going, they were all watching to see whether it will happen to him too. But he went and came back on this. He didn't even know that was happening to them. They were now telling us the story, what was happening to them. They were now telling us. Then, so you see, it's not everything you can just go and cast out. You can't just cast out. You need a certain spiritual strength. One day somebody was trying to help a married couple in trouble. As she was helping them, the Spirit of God told me to tell her that if you don't take care, the spirit that has come into this marriage, that is breaking it, will enter your marriage. You see, you don't just handle things by heart. They wanted to know the demon's name. They talk. And so I just asked the demon, what is your name? Then he mentioned a certain name. And I said, do you know something? I know your name. Your name is that you are a liar. So even the name you have mentioned to me, I can't trust you. But what I can do is that in the name of Jesus, get out of this man. I tell you, from that time, the demons left the guy. And the guy became so sad. I said, I can't trust you. Your name is a liar. So even what you are telling me, I don't know whether you are lying or not. But what I know is that I can use the name of Jesus to cast you out. So in the name, and he just left. And I realized that since about 5 hours, he was lying to the people. And they were just there. Do you get it? So it's not everything that you do. But Jesus met, he said that, what is your name? And you can't lie to Jesus. So we are legion. Then he said, come on. At that time, his name, I don't know whether he said in the name of my name, but he cast them out. And they went, hallelujah. Wouldn't you be happy if every spirit tormenting your life is cast out? And every spirit tormenting your life today is cast out in Jesus' name. So this is another one. Bible says, he cast the spirit out. He cast the spirit out. And verse 15, the whole people in the village heard it. So, and they came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Is it not a powerful miracle? Wouldn't you want every demon in your life to be cast out and in somebody you know's life to be cast out? This is what Jesus did. Hallelujah. And then if you go to again to chapter the same verse 5, you come to verse 21. And when Jesus passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray, come and lay hands on him, that she may be healed and she shall live. Hallelujah. The man believed. Hallelujah. In the process, there was another person in the congregation who had another problem. When people gather, they have various problems too. They have various problems. And this one, Bible says, and a certain, so this man's problem is there. He has told Jesus his problem. But then another person too had a problem. So, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, she had a problem. People are mad. Some are mad. Some their children are dying. Some are having flow of blood, gynecological problem, whatever. And Bible says that in verse, she has suffered many things of physicians. It means she has tried to solve the problem. She has tried to solve the problem. It wasn't solving. Verse 28, For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. So she touched the clothes of Jesus. And the Bible said that she was healed of her plague. What a miracle. What a miracle. That means that sicknesses were healed. Gynecological problems. Today, if you have any gynecological problem with issue of blood, with anything that makes you to see the gynecologist, you have been delivered in Jesus' name. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. You have been delivered in Jesus' name. If you are a man, you can receive for your wife in the name of Jesus. Your beloved, I don't know what sort of discussions you'll be having. And Bible said that she was healed. So Jesus now went back to the first person who had told him that the daughter was dying. The daughter was dying. So Jesus approached, went to the man's house. And the Bible says that in verse 39, and when he was come in, he said unto them, why are you making so much noise and weeping? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. In other words, Jesus is saying, why are you making so much noise about your problem you are having? Why are you making so much noise about talking about it, crying every night? I'm 48. I'm not married. I am this. I don't have a child. Why are you making so much noise? Why are you making so much noise? From today, you shall stop making noise about your problem. Why are you making so much noise? Because when someone is dead, of course they'll be crying. But I say, why are you making so much noise? The person is not dead, he's just sleeping. The problem is not a problem, it's solvable. It's solvable. Is there any problem that is not solvable? I feel that problems are going to be solved today in the name of Jesus. If you came here with any problem, just know that you are living it here today. And don't open yourself to spirit and carry anybody's problems away. Leave yours here and leave any other person's problems here. In Jesus' name. He says he's not dead. She's just asleep. And listen, verse 40. And they laughed him to scorn. This is not the first time people are laughing at a pastor who says the problem will be solved. Do you get it? And you're not the first person laughing in the congregation that what the pastor is saying cannot happen. They laughed him to scorn. How can you see this problem and say that the person is not dead but asleep? Can you, when you see a dead person, can't you see? You see, that's why he couldn't speak to you as spirituals. Do you get it? Because a spiritual person doesn't mention a problem by the problem. He mentioned the problem by the solution. That's what a spiritual person does. He doesn't mention the problem by the problem. So you have to develop certain spiritual languages. That is why he said, let the weak say, I am strong. Do you get it? That is when they say be spiritual. It doesn't mean go and pray for 24 hours and come and change your voice. No. It's part of the spirituality. It doesn't mean go and learn scriptures and come and recite it. It's part of spirituality. But it means walk like God will walk. That's all. That is why Bible says he caused those things that were not. You get it? So if you don't have a job in your life, you don't say, I don't have a job. You rather call the job that is not to as if it is. That is spiritual. Is that not spiritual? That is spiritual. And spirituality makes you look foolish. And until you become foolish, you are not spiritual. Until somebody thinks that what you are doing doesn't make sense, you are not too spiritual. Yes. So he went as a spiritual being. He saw them walking as mere men. But he said, well, I won't allow myself for you to dictate to me how to walk. Do you get it? So he said, she's not dead. She's asleep. And they laughed to scorn. Amen. Then he sacked all of them from his life. Some people, you have to sack them from your life. You have to close the door to them. I knew some two ladies. They were all looking for beloveds and they were growing old. And they were very good friends, tight friends. One day I was touching one of them and I realized that this person was very sad. I went to another person too, she was very depressed. So I asked myself, if these two people meet, what will happen? They are two very good friends, but one is sad and one is depressed. So when they meet and they are chatting, what would they talk about? Hey, sadness and depression multiplied by whatever. So I told them, look, you people, like, you shouldn't be too close again. I think you should change your friend. You should walk with someone who is married. Then you to go and walk with someone who has a beloved. You realize they'll begin to hear certain things and your countenance will change. Your whole life will change. And then you begin to walk as you are supposed to walk. Dear, as I'm talking now, both of them are married. I mean, they were married long ago to powerful people. Powerful people. Often you feel that you want to go to someone who can understand you. You see, in so many situations, you don't need somebody to understand you. You need somebody to kick you and come on, stop crying. You don't have abadai for such thing. It's not about, it's a matter of come on. Come on. You have a problem. Every time you want people who only say what you want to hear. Meanwhile, what you have to hear to solve the problem is not what you want to hear. You need to hear that you are a fool. You get it? You are one day a wife came to talk to me about her marital problem. When she said, you are a foolish girl. You are a foolish woman. Only a foolish woman will behave the way you are behaving. Come on, go and do the right things. That's all. Hey. Oh, you see what you have done. Sometimes we do like that, but sometimes you have to tell the person you are a foolish woman. You are a foolish man. Hey. To talk like that. You don't have pastoral heart. You see. It's out of the pastoral heart that I use that thing, because I realize that you are about to spoil your marriage. You are about to spoil your marriage. Why should I sugarcoat the thing and spoil your marriage? Do you get it? So you want to hear the person who will tell you what you want to hear. That is not going to solve the issue. So, but that's what we are talking about. Jesus said, all of you get out of my life. Are there some people should get out of your life? I think so. Some people should get out of your life. Get out of my life. It's only the devil who should get out of your life. So human beings should get out of your life. Verse 41. When they got out of his life, when they left with their doubt, he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Hey, I say Talitha kumi to your businesses, to your marriages, to anything that is dead in your life, may you arise and have life in that thing in the name of Jesus. Hey, some of you, ever since you failed your exam and you couldn't finish school, you have only been doing some kind of businesses and you have condemned yourself to this type of small businesses and earning some small money, and as you have made up your mind that as for rich man, dear, you will never become some. As for rich woman, dear, you will never become some. But today your situation is changing in the name of Jesus. Because the blessing of the Lord is what will make you rich. Not your education. It will help. Hallelujah. By the blessing of the Lord. So arise. Arise. And then the Bible says, and straight away, I have some testimonies from Sprinters Road about the convention we had. And then the miracles that they were talking about. I was amazed. Straight away miracles. Just straight away miracles like that. Hallelujah. Straight away, the damsel arose. Who is this damsel who has arisen? This damsel who has arisen. Who is this one? Who is this damsel who is now alive? Wasn't that the one who was dead? They said was dead. They saw was dead. Was it not the one that Jesus said was asleep? They were laughing. Is it not the same person who is alive now? This is going to be your story in the name of Jesus. You too, they have said it. They have seen it. But they will see that it has changed. In the name of Jesus. So this man, this woman, she woke up. 12 years old. And they were astonished. With a great astonishment. May people be astonished with great astonishment of your breakthrough, of your miracle, in the name of Jesus. Hey. We want astonished blessings in this house. We want miracles and testimonies that when they tell us, we ourselves say, hey, are you in this church? Or you are Abraham, or you are Sarah, or you are something. This is the type of thing we want to hear. Amen. And then Jesus spoke to them. Powerful miracles, that also. But listen to something. Where I'm coming to, and we'll close. Chapter 6. Let's go to verse 12. Of chapter 6. And they went out and preached that men should repent. That means that Jesus left some people and then he sent out his people. And they cast out many devils. They cast out what? And anointed with oil many that were sick and did what? And they did what? To the extent that when King Herod, an unbeliever, heard what was happening, he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said, it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. So the miracles they were doing were so wild that Herod could think of only one person who could do such miracles. He said, no, John the Baptist has come back again from the dead. Hallelujah. 16. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded, for he is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And then Herod told them what he did to say, I myself killed him. But I think that he has risen from the dead. Amen. Verse 20. For Herod feared John in those days. John was doing powerful things. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and an holy man, and observed him. You see, Herod was an unbeliever. He wasn't going to church. But he was wise enough to know that what John the Baptist was doing was mighty. So he was observing John the Baptist from afar. And when he heard of him, he did many things and he heard him gladly. Which means that Herod was following John the Baptist on Facebook. He was following John the Baptist on podcasts. Even though he was an unbeliever. But the things John was doing were so mighty. So he was following John. He was sending people, saying, hey, what happened the last time? Hey, yesterday too, I heard somebody was sick. He laid his hand and the person got healed. So Herod was, and then see, now why is Herod saying that John the Baptist has arisen? Because Jesus has sent out the disciples and they were doing powerful things. So Herod could only think of John the Baptist, that he was the only one who could be doing such miracles, such powerful things. Hallelujah. And then verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, this is when the people had come, they've told them what they had done. Then another miracle. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place." Another miracle is about to take place. "And now time is far past. Send these people away, because we don't have any way of going to feed them." And then, Bible says in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" Isn't that the question they asked? Isn't it not a sensible question to ask? Where you are, you've seen this whole people that say we should feed them. We don't have bakery, we don't have anything. So it's a sensible question. That's why I said that until you don't make sense, you are not spiritual. Until you don't make sense, you are not spiritual. He said, "But how can we do this? How can you do this?" He said unto them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And Bible says that when they knew, they say, "Five loaves and two fishes." Five loaves. And you know the people were there. They were more than us here. Far, far more than us. Five loaves and two fishes. Can you imagine if I brought five loaves here and two fishes, and I said, "I'm going to give you all to eat"? The first four will rush here. Even one of the days when we had a church meeting, and I was asking them, "What are some of your problems?" Somebody told me that anytime they share anything in church, those at the back don't get some. That was a problem. Anytime we share anything in church, those at the back don't get some. Even that one that we have brought a lot of things to share. How much more? So I told her, "Then next time come and sit at the front, so that you will get some." Do you get it? But five loaves. And he commanded them to make them sit down. At the end of the day, the Bible says that Jesus did a miracle and fed 5,000 men besides women and children with five loaves and two fishes. Which means that, you see, what you have that you think God cannot use for anything, if you allow God to bless it, it will make you rich. It will make you rich. Hallelujah. Are you seeing the miracles God is doing? Oh God. Then, after all this, the Bible says, and when even was come, 47, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. That means that he had told them now to go to another side, and they were now moving. So the ship was on the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling, for the wind was contrary unto them. I mean, they were struggling. Jesus had sent them to go to the other side. But as they were going, he realized that the guys were struggling to go, because now he wasn't on the ship. So they were struggling. This is what happens. Anytime Jesus is not with you, you struggle. So as they were going, they were struggling. And Jesus was wondering what was happening, not knowing that a contrary wind has started blowing. That means there was a storm. A contrary wind has started blowing. There was a storm. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. Wow. Hey. This is action film. This is action. If it was a movie, they would say action. Action. They saw him coming, walking on the water. and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. They thought it was a ghost. You know, some people will see you and they will think that they have seen something else. They will go and wash their face before they recognize that. Hey, what now, why you say? Look at your chin. Look at your face. Hey, who are these people following you? Your children. Hey, is that you? And what is that thing back there? Uber came to drop you. It's not Uber. It's my own car that came to drop me. It's not Uber. Hey! They will be shocked. They assume that this cannot happen. I tell you, this cannot happen. Miracles are happening to people. People will be shocked. Hey! And they were troubled. Immediately, he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. So Jesus, he walked on water. Hallelujah. Listen to verse 52. Bible said that before then, Jesus wondered at what they said. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Hey. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's read from 53 ending, then we'll close with something else. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. No posters, no radio announcement, nothing, but the people knew him. Hey! And ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. So they took everybody. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. They just said, please, just let us touch you. Don't touch us. Let us touch you. And listen, and as many, shall we all read this one together? And as many as touched him were made whole. What a mighty man. Wow. Wow. Who wouldn't want this anointed to bless him or her? Who wouldn't want this anointed man to bless him or her? Everybody will want, isn't it? Wonderful. But let's go back to chapter 6, verse 1. Let's go back to chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says that, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and the disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence are this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? At the first glance, you may think that they were saying a positive thing to acknowledge that the man was doing mighty things. You get it? Because what he was saying were powerful things and full of wisdom. You get it? So you would have thought that they were asking such a question so that they would also benefit from it. You see? But at the back of their mind, they were asking, how can this person be talking like that? You get it? This guy, why is he saying things, big, big things like that? Why is he God? Why is he saying big things like that? Then listen, he said now, and are not his sisters here with us? And he said, we know where he came from. He couldn't even finish school. When he went to class 6, he stopped school. His father couldn't pay his school fees. So we know You see, so the question they were asking, and they were trying to refer to Jesus' life background, that this guy, he is saying what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. No. Is it the same person we know? Is it the person? Are not his sisters here with us? One of his sisters cried the other day. We heard that the beloved had kicked her out of the house. And the other time, to the other sister, we said, so what is this man? What is this man? Hey, and listen to something. And they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Now, at this point, who do you think is going to lose? Because, you see, as the man has come and he's talking, and you are now thinking about his past, is this that you are offended at him? He had actually come to be a blessing to you. Yeah. He had actually come to be a blessing to you. And yet, you are now thinking about, is he not this? Why is he talking like that? Why is he? Meanwhile, you are struggling. The man has raised the dead. The man has cast out the devil. The man has done so many things. The man is doing miracles. And he has come. I mean, common sense should say, what the man did, he can do here also. Common sense. And yet, you think that you are the one who know him. So you are now thinking about, I'm not, you know what they say, I'm not the sisters with them. They know something about their brother. Do you get it? They know something about their brother. The brother is a very stubborn person. So it's almost like, if you can heal people, go and talk to your brother. That's what it was like. If you have anything to offer, go and talk to your sister. Yeah. You know, elsewhere, just say, you say to me, physician, heal thyself. Do unto us what you have heard you do in other countries. So it's like, if you can do anything, go and do it to them. We know you. We know you. The people you go and talk and they believe you, it's not us. We know you. All those people, they don't know you. That's why when you touch them, they fall and they ask, we know. We know you. We know your wife. We know all the people. So, who are you? We know you. Hey. Deliverance. Then listen to what I'm coming at, so that you live here with a blessing. Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them. So Jesus was trying to describe the whole problem. The basis of all the problems we're having is what Jesus is now going to tell us now. Jesus was saying, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Hallelujah. Look, there are some of you here, you should not have carried your problem more than 2 days. You should not have carried your problem more than 2 days. But all these type of things on your mind is what have made you still be in your problem. You get it? And a prophet is not without honor. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. What he's saying is that a prophet should have honor. But the only place the prophet will not be honored is in his own country. That's what he's trying to say. A prophet should be honored. But the only place a prophet will not be honored is among his own people and his own country. And then listen to what happened. Unfortunately, the next verse. And the Bible said, and he could there do no mighty work. He could there do. Is this the same man who somebody had issue of blood for 12 years and touched and was healed? Is it the same man who went into a house and somebody was dead and said, the woman is not dead but asleep? Is it the same man? Is it the same man? Demons, message, come on, get out. Is it the same man that people were begging just to touch the hem of his garment? Is it the same man? Is it the same man? But the Bible says that he could there do no mighty work. Where they didn't honor him, that is where nothing happened. You see, you can't clap because you are thinking,
that is where nothing happened. That is where nothing happened. Where? And sometimes when your pastor spoke to you, you didn't listen to him. It's dishonor. It's a kind of dishonor that he spoke to you. Do this, you didn't do. Even you have a problem, even to talk to your pastor, say, I have this problem. It's a kind of, you see, where you don't honor. Where you don't honor. Then you say that you don't get a certain blessing. Hallelujah. And I'm saying all this to say that again, that United Denominations, of which Lighthouse is part, God has blessed us with a mighty gift. In United Denominations, God has blessed us with the powerful gift. Hallelujah. Who is anointed? You see, listen, there was a, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, the fish and the loaves. You see, sometimes when you want to see what God has done and given to you, you have to remember certain things should talk to you. That if this has been done, then there must be a certain anointing on the person. And many of us, see, as we watch healing Jesus, as to what the mighty words God is doing, we consider not the things that God has used with the servant to see that there is power, there's anointing, and that we just need to tap into that thing. Because the blessing of the Lord, let me tell you, it takes blessing of God for you to be rich. That's why you can see women, their faces are shiny, they are the meanwhile, no man is marrying them. He realized that if God doesn't bless, it's not a shiny face. It's not a, look at me. I said, me one day I saw a man and a wife. I asked them, what did the man see in the woman? And that's when I said that this one is not beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. This one, dear, is spirit of God has blessed the woman. It's simple as that, because there was nothing to behold. Even if it's beauty, I think if the man has eyes like all of us have, I'm telling you, there was nothing to behold in the woman. There was nothing to behold about the woman. And yet, a wonderful man had married her. I said, this can only be the blessing of the Lord. Me, I'm slim and tall. So, it will not be long. Someone will come. Well, you know, you sit down there. He said, if you are not blessed, you get it. So it takes blessing. And one of the ways that blessing of God can come is when you honor. Bible says, at that place, he couldn't do save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. That's all that he did. Just some few counseling here and there. And say, take it one. Take it two. Access are too slow. Bring them here. Take it one, two, three. Pa, 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 pa. Then he left. Meanwhile, he went so that he would raise the dead. He went there so that people would receive mega things. But they didn't. So, beloved, he told us why. He said, because they don't honor the prophet. And God has given us a prophet. Our prophet, who is the source of our blessing, the source of our breakthrough. Last week, we saw how God used Isaac to just bless his children. You see, he blessed. And how Jacob had to fight for that. Just words. Just words. Blessing of words. But the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God. As I'm talking right now, only spiritual people are understanding what I'm saying. The natural man is still thinking, what is he talking about? But the spiritual person has already understood what I've said. Can I have some spiritual people in the house now who have understood what I have said? Because what I'm saying, it is spiritually discerned that if you honor the natural man, receive not. Amen. So honor. We want to believe God. You get it?
for all the blessings that God will bless us in his prophet, by his prophet. By a prophet he took Israel, and by a prophet he preserved them. Today somebody is going to be taken out of an Egypt, and not only out of an Egypt, but will be preserved. Your family will be preserved. Your marriage will be preserved. Your money will be preserved. Your business will be preserved. Your health will be preserved. Everything about you will be preserved. In the name of Jesus. But he did it by a prophet. That is why coming Sunday, Galatians 6 is Sunday, I want you to take yourself out of any Egypt in the name of Jesus. This coming Sunday, we are doing the honor your prophet offering, where we are not just coming to do any, but we are recognizing that it is God who blesses, and that our prophet, our pastor, our teacher, our father is anointed. And in case you are confused, our father, our pastor, our teacher is Bishop Dagiwad Mills. It's not Bishop Ishmael Sam, in case you are confused. You get it? And can you imagine if I have just 60% of my church members, 60 crowds, if I have just 20% of my church members who take this family seriously and honest the prophets in the way they should honor, can you believe the kind of blessing that will flow in this house? Hallelujah. So this Sunday, you may take your seat. I'm giving you an opportunity. Not to me. I'm not your father. I have been sent by your father. But our father, who is anointed, who has taught us, who has brought us up, who has directed us, who brought me here so that you are married. But if I didn't come, you would not have met your beloved. You would not even have been born again. Is that not so? But he sent me. It's like somebody said, we don't need God, we need Jesus. If God has not sent Jesus, where would you be? Where would you be? So this Sunday, you see, last I told you, the honor is dependent on what you have. There can be somebody in this church, he can take 100 CDs. See, I'm using to honor the prophet. You'll be surprised that in the presence of God, it will be like 2 billion CDs. So honor. You see, because what do you want to do? You want to provoke a blessing. Who blesses? It's God. So as you look at it, like that, and you watch it like that, and you give. People are giving offerings like that. Somebody went to give some 2 pesos or so. Then God called Pastor Frank, called Richard, called Sam and said, come and see. This woman gave 2 pesos. You gave 5,000. You gave 10,000. You gave, but she had given more than all of you. And they were surprised. How? We gave 10. No, God said, no. You see, what you have and what you have given, you know that it's almost like an insult. That is the honor. You see, when you are giving offering, that's it. I say, we are spiritual beings, and I'm talking to spirituals. So give. That's why every year, one of the things I say is that, Lord, I don't want to give an offering less than this. Every year, I up my offering. Yeah. I said, I don't want to give an offering less than this. That's what I do. Because I know it's a spiritual thing and brings blessings. How many of you believe that all these action-packed miracles I spoke about are powerful things? You want to see them in your life. What did Jesus say? He said, look, these things, it didn't happen in this place because they didn't honor the prophet. How many of you are blessed today? Even some of you, the mind and the heart that you have about this message has already released blessings into your life. You see, many things, they start before you see them. Some of you, this week, by Sunday, you are going to receive a very powerful miracle. And then you will see that it's only because of even the way you received the message, the miracles have already started. I believe it in my heart too much. filling my heart too much. Hallelujah. See, when they were saying, Jesus, oh, your sister, your this, you didn't know that their own blessing. So as I'm talking, you are saying, your blessing is what you are talking about. But don't be like them. Take a powerful offering. Put it in an envelope. Just write it, HYP, under your prophet. We will collect it and I will go and give it to the prophet. And tell the prophet that you have taught us. You have led us. You have given us marriages. You have shown us the way. You have given us light. We cannot use any amount of money to pay you for what you have done. We can only recognize and honor the anointing on your life. And I said, this is from your children, Loyalty House, stroke Mega Church. We are saying that, thank you, Daddy. And thank God for anointing you. You see, so we are recognizing the anointing on your life. I don't know if you think that's a good thing to do. Well, I've told you what it's going to do for your life. So God willing, Sunday, 1st October, let's come with prepared, powerful blessings to provoke. You expected God to do certain things for you before the year ends, isn't it? We are in September, that's 9th month of the year, and no sign, isn't it, of what you're believing God for. I tell you, you don't need more than 2 hours for that thing to happen. What is about to happen in this last few months, putting all the years together, you'll never be able to handle. So do it. Believe it. This time round, you'll be part of the testimony. And if I were you, I'd be like Jacob. I will force myself that me too. I'll be part of this test. I am sick and tired of people coming to give testimonies. Me too. I'll be the person who come and say that, Bishop, my problem that God has solved. If I tell you, you won't believe it. The people will laugh. May you, somebody come and say something that will even laugh. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. For this breakthrough, this powerful, wonderful key you have given to us to see blessings in our lives. We have fought for many years and she was nothing better. But Lord, we will use all the keys that this year will not finish without us saying that God has been good to us, in that He had answered our prayer, dealt with that particular problem for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to say that, Pastor, as you preached and I heard the word, deep down in my heart, I felt that I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to be born again. I felt that I shouldn't live here without giving my life to Jesus. You are not sure that you are born again. You are not sure whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. And you want to say that, Pastor, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I want God to forgive me of my sins. I want to leave this place knowing that I'm born again. Knowing that God has washed me with His blood. So pray for me to be born again. You want me to pray for you to be born again? I want you to say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is the Son of God.
Is the Son of God.
He came to die.
He came to die.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Today.
Today.
I confess.
I confess.
That I'm a sinner.
That I'm a sinner.
And I ask you.
And I ask you.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
Of all my sins.
Of all my sins.
Wash me.
Wash me.
With your blood.
With your blood.
As I declare.
As I declare.
And as I confess.
And as I confess.
With my mouth.
With my mouth.
That Jesus.
That Jesus.
Is Lord.
Is Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Is Lord.
Is Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That from today.
That from today.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
And I am your child.
And I am your child.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. that you have washed me with your blood.
With your blood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you have made me whole.
That you have made me whole.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.